This is a massive story. As we've said, 37 Australians are dead, 28 are citizens. And as I said to Tony Abbott, the Western world, if we're to believe the rhetoric, want Putin in the dock. On every front, Russia and Putin are failing acceptable international standards of civilized behaviour. What's worse, as Tony Abbott found out last week, their ambassadors are evasive and dishonest. But what is even more offensive, and the point I made to the Prime Minister, it's being argued that rebels with links to the Russian military intelligence may have removed debris and recording devices from the crash site before the arrival of international observers. So the rhetoric is easy. What about the reality? What can Mr. Obama do? What will he do? He's been weak in the past. What will Germany do? Angela Merkel on this one has been very slow to condemn the European Union. Or are you just worried about the gas supplies from Russia? And who is going to nail Putin? And how will he respond? Greg Sheridan is the Foreign Affairs Editor for The Australian. He's on the line. Greg, good morning.
Good morning, Alan.
Thank you for your time, and I know you're overseas as well, and I'm grateful for you agreeing to speak to us so that we can get your perspective on this. I mean, this is a massive issue for Australia, with 37 Australians and 28 citizens dead. It's one thing, though, for the headlines to say Putin should be in the dock. Who's got the guts to put him there?
Well, Alan, I'm in Washington, D.C. at the moment, and it's the primary issue here. I do think that we're seeing a lot of breakdown in the international global order, partly because people sense a lack of American resolve. But even more than the Americans, I would be critical of the Europeans here. Putin has already invaded and taken over a big chunk of Ukrainian territory in Crimea and also in a region of eastern Ukraine. And the Europeans are thrashing him with a feather. The Germans want his gas, the French want to sell him their warships, the British are happy to have his money sloshing through their financial system and through the London real estate market. None of them is willing to wear any cost, and yet what we are witnessing is a revolutionary moment in which one big European power now invades and takes the territory of another European state. We haven't seen that since World War II.
Now, Abbott, in all of this, I mean, it's been a blood sport here, of course, to attack Abbott on every front. You would have found, surely, in Washington, what I'm hearing here, and I'm broadcasting from Glasgow, that Abbott really is now being held in the highest regard for his, I think you described it, forthright and decisive style.
That's absolutely right, Alan. A lot of very senior Obama administration people have told me of the regard they and Obama hold Abbott in. Abbott went to see Obama and he said, I understand that you Americans bear many burdens and we Australians want to help you and I've increased our defence budget and this is what we can do together in the Asia Pacific. Now, the number of people who go into the White House not asking for something is not very large, and very senior administration officials have told me of the regard they hold Abbott in. I think he's doing extraordinarily well in foreign affairs. And, you know, a doleful reflection, Alan, is that where he can simply govern and take actions, he's doing extremely well. Things are very messy in Parliament because he's not able to, get the numbers
right
in the Senate. But in the foreign sphere, he did brilliantly well with Obama. He did very, very well with Indonesia in stopping the boats and keeping any damage to the relationship to a minimum. He's had a superb relationship with the Japanese, who are now quite likely to sell us the most advanced conventional submarine technology in the world. And he's got free trade agreements with Korea and Japan and likely to get one with China by the end of the year. Now, I don't see how you could do more than that as a prime minister in your first year.
No, and you're saying this is in the area where he doesn't have stumbling blocks being plonked in his way at every turn.
That's right. Where it's a matter of his competence and his willpower and his strength, he gets it done. He stops the boats from Indonesia. He gets the agreements with the Japanese and the Koreans. He takes strategic actions. He's going to get a free trade agreement with the Chinese. But like a lot of Western societies, we are at the moment in the process of making ourselves ungovernable because we are electing fringe, you know, semi-lunatic groups of the populist left and the populist right, and they have a power just to blow the place up, just to block anything from happening. They have no creative power. They can't do any good for anyone, but they have an enormous power to stop anyone else doing any good.
Greg, you would be hearing there, and this is happening, this is developing by the hour, in the last several hours, talk that the order has gone out from Moscow to eliminate incriminating evidence. The rebels had boasted about their prowess in picking Ukrainian military planes from the sky. They ended up picking the wrong target. The West doesn't seem to have the stomach for even the language of punishment towards Russia, let alone enforcing anything. Where is that initiative going to come from?
Well, you're absolutely right, Alan. The only two Western leaders who've really spoken as they should have been Dutch and Australian prime ministers. President Obama's position is perfectly sound. He sort of says the right things, but he doesn't give you any sense that it's going to have any consequence, that it has any traction, or that he means it, or that there's any oomph behind it. It's quite clear the rebels could not have got these missiles from anywhere else but the Russians. You cannot fly these things without months and months and months of training. I've also been watching it on American television round the clock. There is film of local Ukrainian rebels picking up debris and equipment, and sadly also interfering with the human remains in a most undignified way.
Contaminating the site.
Contaminating the site, making it impossible to have a proper investigation, and also making it difficult even for the Australian families to recover the bodies and the remains and the effects of their loved ones. Now, the Dutch Prime Minister is right when he describes this behaviour as disgusting. This is disgusting behaviour. There's a level of barbarity about this, and it is all sanctioned by Moscow, who could stop this rebellion in a minute, who have funded the rebellion, given the arms which have now killed all these innocent civilians, and sent a lot of their own soldiers in civilian clothes, to undertake this. Now, I'm not suggesting anybody's going to go to war on behalf of Ukraine, but if that doesn't justify the most stringent economic sanctions, then the West has lost all conviction, and we'll just have to see what happens over the next week or two. The Russian economy is vulnerable, and if the West took concerted action, it would have an effect.
Absolutely. Well, just on that concerted action, and before you go, and I hope we can talk again, but Russia's wealth is tied up in Western banks. Their companies are listed on the global stock exchanges. Its oligarchs own prestigious properties in London and on the south of France. Why aren't they frozen today?
Well, look, I couldn't agree with you more, Alan. If the West wanted to take action, it would cost Western economies some money. The French, the Germans, the British, and even the Americans, and even us, we would lose some money. But the Russian economy is on the rack. It's very badly mismanaged. It's going through the floor. It is only based on resources. And they could suffer terrible economic consequences, as they should, for this act of war, which has killed more Australians in a single incident than anything outside of war except the Bali bombing.
Absolutely. Greg, I hope we can keep in touch with you because this will change. It's very fluid, but we really appreciate your insights, especially from Washington. I hope we can talk again in a couple of days.
Great to talk to you. Thanks very much.
You too. There he is, Greg Sheridan.